This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And I've been drinking for a little bit, so hopefully I'm not useless today.
I slowed down, so I'm not stupid drunk, but there's a lot to talk about today, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, God. All right. Shit. Our guest today is Spencer Strauss.
Hey, everybody.
Writer, producer, good friend. We worked together on Fatal Decision, which I was... Is that what it's called? Fatal Decision?
Fatal Decision, yeah. Probably not a good sign that you...
Well, I always get it mixed up with Final Destination because of the F and the D. It's on Go 90. I was trying to get people to watch it for a while, and then I stopped.
Yeah.
But it's still up there. I think pretty soon the College Humor ones are going to... It's going to be on College Humor's...
Yeah, it's going to get its second wind, and then, you know, pretty soon every kid on the block will be wearing their Fatal Decision shirt. And,
yeah, their Jack Maxwell... decoder rings and stuff like that. It'll be great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. And thank you both for staying so sober. So late.
Speak for yourself. So this is the show where we do conspiracy theories, sci-fi type thingies. It's basically a drunken conversation, so don't get too wrapped up in the facts. Here's what we like to do with our first time guests. We like to do a kind of litmus test.
A litmus test? All right. I know what that, an actual litmus, like, am I going to dip my pee in a piece of paper? And
if you're willing, yeah, we could.
Sure.
We could pause.
I got to have full bladder. I think I could do a litmus test and see whether it's alkaline or base. Wait, no, alkaline is base. Shit. All right, never mind.
Yay. Now you're on our level.
Nerd. All right.
Do you believe in aliens?
Not in the traditional sense, no. I believe there's life outside this solar system, but I don't believe little green men, for lack of a better term, have visited this planet. No.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No. No.
No ghost stories?
No. I mean, do you want to get to the heart of it? I'm overall a cynic, but I'm willing to entertain the possibility that I don't know everything.
So. Okay.
Cynic's the wrong word, though.
Is cynic the wrong word? I just watch a lot of Bill Maher. Skeptic. What is it, cynic? No.
Cynic has a negative connotation, and like I don't think that applies to just if you don't believe in stuff, that doesn't mean... There's anything negative about that.
I think cynic is to skeptic as atheist is to agnostic.
Holy shit.
If you're prepping for your SATs.
And this is you after a few beers? This is pretty...
I get smarter.
You get smarter. Holy shit. You're the real scientific anomaly. The man who gets smarter, the more drunk he gets.
I get very eloquent and I don't remember any of it.
I just get very emotional.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm halfway through this podcast. There's going to be a single tear rolling down Willie's cheek as we're talking about aliens.
I think passionate more than emotional.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good word.
Okay. Well, yeah. So you kind of wrapped it up. We don't need to do Bigfoot. You don't believe in Bigfoot.
Correct. Not a big believer in Bigfoot. For a while, I was a pretty big believer in the JFK conspiracy, if that helps.
You're not anymore?
No.
Was there a tipping point? Like, what happened?
I saw some documentaries. I think, like, Penn and Teller did a, you know, thing where, you know, they showed... The thing that, you know, kind of tipped it for me was showing that it was a shoddy investigation, but it was overall, like, it's possible for that one man to have done it. I don't know. But I mean, right now, looking at your blank stares of expression across from me, I'd be willing to entertain the fact that, you know, maybe it's not just
I think it's
good old Lee Harvey Oswald shooting with a
Let's just say it was just him. Let's say it was just him. There was still a cover up. And so he still believed that if it was just him, he was still hired by somebody that was involved in the cover up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what I heard actually, now that I'm thinking through my brain, is I heard the last good theory that I heard on it was that it was actually a like dumb mob hit. I think it was Hunter Stair was actually the one who explained it. Like, there's straight up this guy who just explained that he did it to show off, like, because obviously the mob wanted JFK gone because of the Cuba, you know, shutting down Cuba and all that. I'm not explaining it very well, AKA the mob did not like JFK. And so this guy took it upon himself to organize or at least help, you know, the thing. And I don't
know. And his brother too, the mob hated the Kennedys. Anyways.
Yeah. Right. Are we going to talk about Kennedy or what are we going to talk about?
Well, so I guess,
maybe we should just talk about Chappaquiddick. That Ted Kennedy. He really got drunk and drowned the shit out of that girl, huh? Have you guys done a podcast on that one?
Not yet.
That'd be probably a really dry one.
You know what
we
should do? We should do a whole series of celebrities who have drowned their spouses.
God. Yeah.
Because there's Blake, right? Or did he? Did
he shot.
That was a gunshot?
Yeah.
But then there's Shatner.
Did he? Oh, Natalie Wood. That's probably a conspiracy.
What's Natalie Wood's thing?
You never heard about that one? Oh, come on. Natalie Wood, you know, from West Side Story and, like, just about a lot of great movies from the 50s and 60s. She was engaged to, you guys are going to probably on the internet hate me. It was like, I think it was Robert Wagner, some other, like, you know, well-known star. And her, Robert Wagner, let's just say her husband, and Christopher Walken were on a boat off of Catalina, and she mysteriously drowned. So it's just Christopher Walken and this other dude, and like she's apparently she was deathly afraid of water, and then she's like, "I'm gonna go swimming." Like that's their story is like, "I'm gonna go swimming," and then she just drowned, and that's all anyone knows about it. So it's weird.
Well, and that right now, drugs.
Drugs.
She did some drugs.
Don't tell them we were on the pot.
Did Christopher Walken just walk into the recording studio? Oh my God.
Listen, when we get back to shore, don't just say to the cops that she went swimming and she drowned.
She didn't have her flippies on, her little swimmy thing.
We told her to take a life jacket and she wouldn't. I don't know.
No, believe it. We're box office draws.
Well, I can't do his an impersonation of him because when I do it in the middle of it, I'm just listening to myself going like, that's not right.
That just happened to me.
That's not right.
Yeah. You immediately become self-aware going like, this is a shitty Christopher Walken impression. I wonder if that's what Jay Moore feels like when he's
Well, it sucks life. Because it all comes from Gary Sinise, right? And then
Gary Sinise.
Not Gary Sinise. Kevin Pollak. Kevin Pollak was the first one to like do a really good Walken. And
right.
And
before that, Christopher Walken impressions were like, you know, verboten. You just could not do a Christopher Walken, you know, it was.
Well, no one cared to. And then Pollak did it. And it was like, holy shit, this is a really fun impression.
Right.
Of you.
Yeah. YouTube Kevin Pollak, if you want to go like, holy shit, the guy from Usual Suspects has got some pretty great impression game from back in his day.
I mean, he's a stand-up, right? He's an old comic.
Yeah.
All right, what are we talking about?
Today we are talking about how the CIA created AIDS.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or not how, but that they did.
All right. And this is something that you guys settled on. So
correct.
I don't know anything about this. I think maybe I was telling you at the bar, like, I think I've maybe heard that, like, black people say that the government created AIDS to keep the black person down.
Like, this is a topic of conversation. Like, every time you hang out with a black person, they're like...
Every black person I know goes, you know the CIA created AIDS
to
keep the class system
intact.
You seem
like a good guy. I'm going to let you in on a secret. The government created AIDS. Yeah, I know probably a little bit about it. I was doing a little bit of, you know, research about the like the holes in the story about why, you know, the monkeys transmitting it to humans has some like holes in it, that story. But what I would be interested to know more about is what is the main thrust of the CIA had anything to do with creating this of our times.
Here goes. Let's just go into basically, let me just talk about the history of AIDS first off, just to get that out of the way, catch everybody up. And I guess we'll do HIV also.
They're different?
Yeah.
I mean, for all you listeners, I'm aware that the two, HIV leads to AIDS, but are you telling me that there's two different conspiracies, one for HIV and one for AIDS?
Well,
because right off the bat, if those two are not linked, that's like...
This is what I'm saving for later, so okay, keep that in your head.
All right.
Because I feel like it'll work better to get to that later.
Okay.
So basically, AIDS is, you know, the... what the fuck?
Acquired immune deficiency disease.
Is that what you're... I thought it was autoimmune deficiency.
Oh, yeah, that's
shit, you're right.
Autoimmune deficiency. Basically...
you get it from cars, automobiles.
So we'll say in the beginning...
I'm already feeling bad about the...
Automobile Industry Detroit Syndrome.
We'll say in the beginning that HIV causes AIDS. HIV is a virus.
Right. So we can all agree on that.
We'll say that as if that's not in dispute, or is that also in dispute?
It will be later.
Okay.
God. All right. But that's the really depressing part about this whole thing. I don't want to get into it. Let's just go. I want to talk about AIDS real quick.
If
talk
I may,
about the CIA. Yeah,
I think the really depressing part about this is that AIDS is a disease which kills, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people a year. That's the depressing part. So we're trying to get to the heart of it.
But that's the face value depressing part. And also...
there's a lot of layers. It's an onion that we need to peel back.
Well, I'm assuming so, yeah.
I'm going to say this. If you are listening to the show and you might not get through it, if you ever do get HIV, do not take AZT. I'll start with that. Anyways,
I'm assuming that's a drug that...
That's what they used to treat it for a long time, and now they use that in conjunction with other treatments.
Okay.
So basically, this thing first started showing up in like 1979. And...
did it!
Yeah.
Okay.
What, do you think it was earlier?
Well, from what I had read...
Go on.
And I'm not the guy with a laptop in front of me, but from what I had read, it could be traced back as early as the 20s and 30s. But I think that, to my understanding, if it went back that far, the problem was nobody was really keeping track of it. You know, I mean, like the National Health Institute and other bodies.
Well, I'll cover that later.
Back then,
I'll cover that later.
Okay. Okay.
Because that's all a part of this. Basically, you know, you test yourself for HIV, and then if you have it, they say that within 1 to 10 years, it could develop into AIDS. And AIDS is basically you lose so many of your T cells that you can't fight off diseases, and you can't you lose the ability, because your T cells are what help you fight off disease, especially viruses. Because then it attacks it and then creates the anti, what do you call that?
Antibodies.
The antibodies.
Yeah.
And that's why when you get vaccinated with like, we're going to give you the mumps. That way your body develops the antibodies and then you probably won't ever get it again.
Right.
So a lot of my stuff is based on this one guy. His name is Leonard Horowitz.
Oh, okay.
What?
There was another guy that in my research, for lack of a better term, I thought his name started with a G. There was another guy that they had. Maybe this was the guy
Robert Gallo is the guy that discovered, quote unquote, discovered AIDS in 1981.
Right. in Menlo Park, New Jersey, trying to find a light bulb.
And holy fuck. I mean, basically, Horwitz says this. He says that, and he has all the documents to prove this stuff. This guy who, in 1981, discovered AIDS, he used to work for this company, Bionetics. And Bionetics is owned by the Litton Industries. Litton Industries was they made a lot of stuff. They made microwaves. They made, but they were like also they did they did fucking Bionetics. You know, bio.
You're gonna say
bio shit, whatever.
Pauly Shore movie.
And then they also they ended up turning into Northrop Grumman.
Oh, Northrop Grumman, one of the largest defense contractors.
Yeah. So these guys were, in 1969. There's this document where they're requesting money. They're requesting $10 million for synthetic biological agents for germ warfare. They requested that money from the NASNRC, the National Research Council, whatever. But basically, you know, Geneva contract, we're not supposed to be messing with what do you call it? Chemical warfare, you know?
Right.
This is biological warfare. Yes, you could argue that this isn't to be used against other people or other countries or whatever. But there's also weird proof that like, oh, when we were, I think it was Cuba. I don't remember, but there was somebody that we were at arms with and, you know, we weren't fighting with them, but, we gave their hogs a disease and killed all their hogs.
We gave their hogs a disease?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like, you
is
know.
That how we got swine flu?
From a government standpoint.
It was called Hodgkinson's.
Hodgkinson's.
Noise.
Hodgies.
I mean, basically, you know, picture warfare today. There's probably more warfare going on using the internet than you know, if we could shut down your water system or, you know, like. Warfare today is different. And there, when I say warfare, I don't mean like our blatant straight out, we're fighting you, just the tactics to get people to, well, whatever. I don't know what I'm going into, but basically in the 60s, 70s, they're trying to develop chemical agents.
That
and
was
weird.
So, okay. So I'm on board with the 60s and 70s. That was the it was open season. And that was the renaissance of like germ warfare, you know. It was the height of the Cold War. And so we're just trying to create weapons out of every, you know, orifice we can because we want to have as many weapons. Okay. I get that. So.
And so this thing that they requested $10 million for, the description of what they were creating it describes AIDS.
Okay. Can I just not to.
Yeah. Go on.
My question is. I understand, like, I have a vague, I have a minor in poli science, so, you know,
ooh,
I know a little.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah,
sweet.
Minor in political science. It's as worthless as the piece of paper it was written on.
I think it's as worthless as basically every minor. Minors aren't worth anything.
Yeah, who goes on with a minor? I've got a minor, you should hire me in this field.
I took a few classes.
I think the point of a minor is just so that later in life you can start a conversation like this and go, now I have a minor in art history.
Yeah, yeah. It adds credibility to your bullshit life.
Right. It's about the same thing as saying I read an article. I read an article, aka I have a minor from 10 years ago.
Minors are for know-it-all assholes who want to win arguments.
Right. I almost
so
got
allow
a
me to continue
minor, and it was
because I want to win this argument.
yeah, go on.
What I don't get is that I understand that the defense industry puts out bids like, hey, we need to create, you know, a rocket sled to, you know, move a man this fast.
Ooh,
and that's how.
Sign me up.
That's how. Yeah. That's how just the procurement process works. What I don't understand is that if there's any credence to the conspiracy theory that the government created AIDS, then you think that they would scrub the records to get rid of like, hey, anybody in 1970 want to create a super virus? You know, that would.
And they did scrub a lot of records.
Oh, they just missed this one.
This, I mean, because nobody connected these.
Huh.
Basically, it
until
says.
Until now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's a quote taken from that document.
Cynical. I don't mean to be.
Oh, no, that's fine. This is a quote taken from that document, right? That he's getting these facts from.
Yeah.
It says within the next 5 to 10 years, it would probably be possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease causing organisms. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic process upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease. It is highly controversial, and there are many who believe such research should not be undertaken. Whatever. This basically,
right.
This is what they were working on. At this point, you can call it AIDS or not, but they were working on something very similar to that, basically that described killing your T cells.
Right.
And the guy working on this project was Dr. Robert Gallo. This is in 1969. He's working for Bionetics, which is owned by Litton Industries, and he's developing.
Wait, is that true? The guy who is credited with discovering AIDS was a germ warfare researcher 10 years earlier?
Yeah.
All right, the plot thickens. So
he's the connection.
And I have to eat my words.
He's the connection to. Now, you don't need to. It's weird to say CIA, but, you know, CIA back then, MK Ultra, they were hiring all kinds of. This is all fact. They were hiring all kinds of universities to do studies for them. Mm. And then when they did their studies, you didn't know it was the government doing it because these, you know, they're just paying them.
Okay.
So at any rate, I don't know what year it was. Let's just say it was 81. I don't know, but, Dr. Robert Gallo his main focus of study, his whole career was, what is that type of? It was retrovirus.
Right.
He studied retroviruses.
Okay.
And, so this other guy who most of the, you got to check out, you know, I'll post this video, but this guy, Dr. Peter Duesberg, Duesberg.
Sounds a lot like
he's a retroviologist from the University of California, Berkeley. He's got one of the best arguments I've ever seen, and it's fucking, it's just crazy. But he says when he was watching, he was like, it was weird that somebody that studied retro, viruses found the cause of AIDS to be a retrovirus.
That's who better to right. discover that though? I mean,
no, but AIDS.
I think you need
AIDS.
Keep going with it. But I mean, I agree with Wade where you're like, yeah, if
this
if
is
the
a
person
this,
who you
this
know
is a specialist in the field saying that's fishy.
Well, you're right, but like it would stand to reason that if looking back on history, if the person who's got the most knowledge about a subject finds that that subject is the cause of something, that, you know, if somebody like what's the alternative? Somebody who's a skeptic and doesn't, you know, believes that, you know, retroviruses aren't a thing is going to discover that not only is AIDS a retrovirus, but also they've changed their belief in retroviruses.
The thing is this is the first time in the history of viruses that a retrovirus created as a disease.
Uh-huh.
That's what's weird about it. Uh-huh. A retrovirus, because of the way our T cells work, a retrovirus can't create a disease.
Do you know what a retrovirus is?
It's let me just look it up so it's not me fucking.
It's like a throwback to the.
It's like a virus who looks back on his life and thinks. That could have been better.
I could have been bubonic plague.
I was
just a real.
Why didn't I
measles?
Pay more attention in my poli-sci minor classes.
I was too busy hanging out with Lou Gehrig's diseases and whooping cough.
Now they all outshine me.
I could have really conquered the world.
Okay, so here we go. a retrovirus is a family of enveloped viruses that replicate in a host cell through the process of reverse transcription. It's a single cell stranded positive sense RNA virus with a DNA intermediate as an obligate parasite targets a host cell. Once inside the host cell, cytoplasm, the virus uses its own reverse transcriptase enzyme to produce DNA from its RNA genome.
Oh, I think I understand that because I think I remember learning about this in health class. So I think I'm going to continue talking. And I believe what that means is, you know, the cell, you know, you picture a chicken egg or whatever, you get the cell and the virus implants its genetic code there. And essentially, for lack of a better term, sabotages the host organism and says, hey, I'm going to use you to make more of my own RNA or DNA.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah, right.
So it's real. It's so real. It's the guerrilla warfare of,
rather than duplicating itself, it implants itself into other cells that then
do duplicate. The work for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think any of us are going to win any biology.
But this guy's got this. I've got some little cliff notes that help me make this all make sense.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Picture any virus.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you picturing?
I'm picturing. To be honest, I'm picturing my biology class, and I'm picturing the little thing that looks like an upside down plunger with a little. Feet on it. It's what on a molecular level that
okay.
looks like.
When
are you picturing?
I'm picturing just a minuscule Peter Dinklage.
when a new flu virus comes out, because that, you know,
Peter Dinklage.
They're mutating. They're coming out. There's new flu viruses being created, you know, and then they hit us, and then it fucking exponentially explodes into our population, right? Uh-huh. So like, let's like. In 1980, there was a flu epidemic that went from nobody had it to 15 million people had it back down to nobody by 1982, right? Flu epidemics, you get the virus, it fucking spreads like wildfire exponentially, and then it goes away because we naturally, either you die off or we naturally figure out.
Right. It's like Pokemon Go.
So the way that viruses work
right.
is that way.
Okay.
There is no such, according to this guy, and I believe him when I listen to him. He's a scientist. Yeah, that studies these retroviruses. He says that you can't have the way viruses work. You can't have a virus that takes 1 to 10 years to develop the symptoms of it. That's impossible.
Until now.
Because of the way that they work.
You mean like, because biologically or evolutionarily speaking, that's a really inefficient virus? Like, why would a virus take 10 years to kill you? It's like...
It's
suspicious that a virus would take so long to kill you.
The virus works because your body can't fight it.
All right.
So you're not going to get symptoms 10 years later.
Yeah, so, but what if it's the San Antonio Spurs of viruses?
It just kind of
wears you down, you know? It's like, it's not that great in the beginning, but it's fundamentally sound.
Right.
And then by the end, you're like, oh, shit, I can't beat this.
Sounds like a lot like that movie Moneyball, where that... The Oakland A's.
What if it's the Brad Pitt Oakland A's of viruses?
Uh huh.
What if it's the
I don't know.
I can't think of a football one. There's got to be a better football analogy.
I don't know. Anybody with a strong running game, I imagine, where they're just like, we're just gonna drive the ball up the center, and it'll take us 10 years to kill the enemy, but we'll...
No, what it's like is like any of those tennis guys, who will just return everything but never really kill you. They'll just return everything and then make you make a mistake.
I'm not a sports guy. I already said that, but I think all tennis guys are the type of people who return it.
No, there are people who go for the kill shots. No, there are people who try to beat you, and then there are people who will
let you beat yourself. Got a real volley going on here. This is one of those tennis players who like to return.
You don't understand anything about tennis.
I guess not.
So your input is invalid and stricken from the record.
AIDS used to be called GRID, gay-related immune deficiency.
Right.
Thanks for that factoid. Yeah.
So, well, I get what I'm saying is, unlike a flu virus... The AIDS virus has never gone outside of gay males, black males. Yeah, there are a few girls that get it, but like the flu, everyone should get it. The way viruses work, everyone should be getting it.
Well, wait a sec. Hang on. You do realize that, I mean, it's not even up for debate, right? AIDS is a blood-borne disease. It's not like it's in the air and only gay people are catching it, right? We're all agreed on that. It's a blood-borne disease, so therefore it would stand to reason that gay people having unprotected sex
but
are more
but the way likely. Viruses work, there would be a gay person that had sex with a straight person, and then they would spread it, and it would spread like wildfire in that same way.
Well, here's the thing about
wait, hang on. Are you saying that no straight people have AIDS?
No. There are what straight are people you? That get it, but unlike any virus ever in the history of viruses, it's staying after 12. This report was done in the 90s, and so after 12 years, it stayed within the same populations, which is not how viruses work. Whoa. It percentage-wise, the percentages remain the same of the people getting it.
Well, I think this is when we just crossed the boundary into step carefully, tread lightly, and I suddenly feel like everything I'm about to say is going to be politically incorrect.
I feel like I feel like you should. I don't know how you could say anything politically incorrect when Willie just said that women don't get AIDS.
That's touche.
I didn't say that they don't get AIDS, but for the most part, their population, the amount of women that get AIDS from the 80s is still pretty close to the same as the amount percentage-wise of women that get AIDS today.
Right, but here's the thing is that because it's a blood-borne disease, it's only – that's the main rap about AIDS is that it's mainly through needle use and unprotected gay sex.
I get what you're saying.
So
I'm saying that's wrong. This is what this
– Well, let me just say this real quick. Is it definitely a virus? Couldn't they just have miscategorized it as a virus? Like, you're comparing everything. You're saying that it's not like a virus.
No, I agree, but okay.
Well, it's a disease, isn't it?
Well, see? This is when I wish I had a biology
minor. This is what's weird, okay? So, like, okay. Whenever Dr. Robert Gallo figured out that HIV caused AIDS...
Mm-hmm.
He didn't publish his reports until after the press conference, which is something that you don't do because your peers need to look at it and agree with you, and then you do the press conference, right? So he did a press conference saying that HIV causes AIDS, and all of his findings that when they looked at them afterwards, they didn't prove that. It doesn't prove that HIV causes AIDS.
So, I just...
Like, there are people that have AIDS that don't have HIV. There are people that have HIV that don't have AIDS.
Right,
so what he's saying is that this retrovirus, HIV, you know, people walking around generally have 50 to 100 viruses within them. But they're dormant or they're viruses.
Not me.
They're viruses that we've had antibodies
a
for.
That weight around.
Fit as a fiddle.
Hot as a potato.
Shit. I didn't know we were going to keep going.
Well, kind of panned out after one.
You didn't have to stop talking. We were just going to do like little underneath you talking things.
Yeah, it'd be that like cute, you know, endearing. We keep going while Willie continues with the thrust of his argument.
Okay. Well, according to Gallo's, these are published test results. Only 44 of 93 AIDS patients tested had the virus. That's less than half. Less than half of the AIDS patients had the HIV virus.
Less than half?
Yeah. In his test that said HIV causes AIDS. So this other guy is saying that, no, HIV has been around for hundreds of years, and that they're claiming that HIV causes AIDS, so that all this research to find how HIV creates AIDS. They're not going to find a cure because HIV doesn't create AIDS.
Okay.
Okay, whoa. This is a big revelation here.
This is crazy.
You're telling me, because I don't know if I can board this train. So you're saying that HIV does not cause AIDS?
That's what this
guy's
saying.
Oh, I see. This goes back to that beginning thing we said. We'll put a pin in that for later. And then Willie just dropped the atomic bomb of...
So,
HIV
this guy, Gallo, when he published his stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so he had not submitted his test results for peer review. He submit, and then he has the press conference. And then what happens then is Gallo's AIDS virus was actually the French guy. It was their discovery, which was also wrong. So they sued. But here's the thing. At the press conference, they said this. They basically set up how they were going to test everyone for AIDS, for HIV. Mm-hmm. And that was all going to be run through this certain company. This is all a big money thing. And so that they would facilitate the AIDS testing because they discovered AIDS. They know how it works. And
so they had the market on who's got AIDS and who doesn't.
Turns out there was an international lawsuit from the French. The France charges the U.S. with scientific misconduct. And so now they have to split the profits on the antibody blood test kit. Mm. France and America. And so, okay, already there's this weird money bumble that happened, right? Mm-hmm. But like I said, only 44 of 93 AIDS patients tested had the HIV virus. That doesn't support itself. In the further studies, he could find HIV in 90% of AIDS patient tested. That was Gallo's claim. He said he found it in 90%. His test results said less than 50%. The first man to map the genes in the viruses like HIV was Dr. Peter Duisberg, whatever. But okay, so here's the thing. I'll read this little.
Go on.
No, go on.
Where does the CIA fit into this?
Well, the CIA, that's the thing. The CIA is not directly connected, but that company, Litton Industries, Bionetics, like one of the heads of Litton Industries was hired by one of our ex-presidents. I forget which one. I can look it up, but I'm not going to waste the time. Basically saying that, like, this guy at Litton Industries was working for a president and was in charge of things. And then this guy Gallo connects HIV to AIDS and everybody just falls in line with it. And like I said, okay, so here's how AIDS started. This is one. AIDS started in Africa and it started in gay males in America. Mm-hmm. And at that time in 1978, they were giving hepatitis B vaccinations in Africa, and then they were giving them to gay males in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So basically, they got the AIDS virus from the hepatitis B vaccinations and then spread it amongst themselves. And then the government comes in and says HIV created AIDS, and we don't know what to do. And the reason why we've spent billions upon billions of dollars figuring out how to stop HIV. Well, HIV is a dormant virus that you can have and never have AIDS because HIV doesn't create AIDS. It's something else.
Okay.
And so the CIA creation connection is very loose, but that Litton company later became Northrop Grumman. Or got bought out by them, and you know what I mean? Like,
so, you know what? This sounds a little bit similar to Mission Impossible 2, probably the worst of the Mission Impossibles, actually. But if you remember, so they – correct me if I'm wrong. Like, what I just heard, Willie, is that in this version, the CIA created the demand for AIDS testing and later AIDS drugs by – facilitating the hepatitis, you know, inoculations in the U.S. and spreading either the HIV or the AIDS. And then the Litton Industries or whatever were the ones who go, we've got the patent to tell you whether you've got AIDS or not. Is that, do I have that right?
That sounds right, but I don't know if Litton Industries. Mm-hmm. I think Gallo at this point didn't work for Litton Industries in 1981. Mm-hmm. He worked for Litton Industries when they were trying to figure out how to make AIDS. And then in 81, I don't know who he's working for, but he was working for the American government. Mm. Not Litton. He was working for the American government.
So you're saying that this whole thing is to make money?
Well,
it's to give people a disease that then that they then have to pay money for a medicine?
Basically, it was to... Here's what I kind of think was going on.
That's actually less evil than where I thought this was going. I thought the CIA wanted to kill gay people.
Well, I mean, it's so a little bit...
super disease.
It's a little bit... It's like a lateral step because people need medicine for other things. Like, you don't have to... you don't have to create new shit.
Yeah. Unless you're really lazy and you're a pharmaceutical company.
I think that they were trying
to the core.
If you're lazy, you're not going to invent a disease.
Well, you know, it's like sliding a scale of lazy, you know, lazy versus do I cure a disease or do I invent a disease that I've already got the cure for?
Like, well, you know? Take away, there's two different...
I'm sorry, but then you also price most of the victims out of buying the medicine.
Well, that's just bad business modeling. I think that maybe I think they could have benefited from a little bit of like, you know, you need to lower your prices to, you know, something that's a little bit more reachable so you don't have this whole Dallas Buyers Club situation where people can't afford the.
I mean, I guess you would want it. You would want it to spread to be a bigger market, right?
So which you would think you'd pick a bigger market than gay males and needle
and
drug
users. That's why I don't think. Yeah, that's why.
Well, here's my thing. This is what I'm saying. There's two different things going on here. Okay. One thing is basically that they were trying to create something to where they could kill people we were at war with. And
the gays.
This is before the gays. When they were developing this, this was to be used against somebody we were at war with, right? So there's that.
I'm just joking, man.
I know. There's that. I'm trying to keep in line in my head, I can't.
I honestly, I'm not even. I'm not trying to be. You know. Argumentative. I buy that were secret, you know, government programs that were actively researching how to inflict horrible biological death upon, you know, our enemies, and they were just creating shit left and right, and maybe they, you know, even looked into retroviruses. Retroviruses. I'd buy that much. Where you lose me is on where somebody goes, holy shit, we've discovered fire here. It's, you know, we'll call it grids or AIDS, whatever. We'll work on the marketing later.
And this is why I'm splitting it up, though.
But then they make the leap into, we could make money off of this.
No. This is why I'm splitting up. This is one thing where they were looking for something to use against enemies, right? Take that away. Take away CIA. Take away all that stuff.
The only part I was on board with. Okay.
Basically... The other side of it is it might have been an accident, and within the hepatitis B vaccinations they gave people, because they credit the two different types of HIV coming from these two different monkeys.
Right.
The Africa monkey is separate from the American monkey and it is also very rare for a bloodborne disease to jump species.
Right. That I actually can speak to. Having had bloodborne illness, no. From what I read, my research was that there are actually four different types of HIV, which I didn't know. There's four different types. There's two main types, and there's two lesser types that are hardly ever used that are ever communicated. And that, yes, it is very rare for a bloodborne disease to hop from one species to another. So that's why. I gotta say, like, it is very fascinating, this topic, to talk about how nobody really knows. Everyone just hypothesizes, like, that it was probably, you know, a hunter ate monkey meat back in the 30s or 40s, or, like, you know, somebody had a bite on their arm and the monkey got his blood on it. Like, because there was no recorded evidence and nobody knew they had the disease until 10, 20 years hence. So that's why this is probably open to a lot of speculation, because there is no...
Yeah,
definitive answer
happen.
One way or the other.
So take away all the CIA stuff we've been talking about, right? The whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These hepatitis. There was a guy that worked for this company that does vaccinations. I know that there's a few. Whatever. Back in the day, the FDA is supposed to regulate vaccinations because that's something that you're putting into your body, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there is a guy that worked for this company, for this vaccination company, that said that the way that they created the vaccination was by harvesting it in using like either a live monkey or monkey blood. And so a lot of the vaccinations are actually tainted with monkey blood and have a whole host of viruses that humans aren't used to. And that might have been the jump. That's what I'm saying. Take away the CIA. This might have just been an accident of them not actually paying close attention to their science, because it's like, hey, we grew the antibodies. We grew it in monkey blood for hepatitis B. So it's more
of like a Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The hepatitis B inoculation thing is weird to me, because you're not... If you're a gay guy in like the late 70s, you're not exactly forthright about that. I don't think.
Well, let me read this ad from that time. Way? Which is very
it's
weird.
A volatile. You don't volunteer that information, because
right.
It's
so very, I mean, I'm not well versed in hepatitis B. What is that, like a calling card? Like, you've got hepatitis B. Oh, that guy's
well. But that's gay. my entire argument is how are they giving hepatitis B shots to gay men to give them AIDS? And like, why not?
Because I guess it was probably prevalent.
And so in the 70s, hepatitis B was pretty big within gay communities, whether you were out or not.
Right.
So like, here's an ad from that time, June 1979.
Well, okay.
Last chance for gay men to join the hepatitis B vaccine program. It's like, you're all getting hepatitis B. We'll all give you the vaccine if you come in and just, you know, but it's specific ad for gay men to.
But then also, like, were women not getting hepatitis B at the time? Like,
well, this goes into, I'm not sure if you remember your biology or sexual organs weight, but men exchange fluids, I believe, at a higher rate, being gay and shooting their cum around as opposed to...
It sounded like you were trying to be coy, and then you just...
And then I realize I'm discussing fucking shooting jizz. Yeah, and also, as I'm saying it, I'm like, am I even right about this? Like, I'm sure that lesbians are prone to sexually transmitted diseases. Well, I just imagine
why does it have to be lesbian? I mean...
Well, you just said as opposed to gay women, didn't that what you just said?
No, I said as opposed to women.
Right, but the... Point. Oh,
you don't think
I
that there's
saying.
Any fucking
no, but it's a for lack of a better term, it's a walled garden where gay men are having sex with other gay men and rarely straying into having sex with women who are then transmitting it to other heterosexual.
And there were only thousands. People. It wasn't as I'm making it sound big, but AIDS spread big, but the hepatitis tests
really blew up weren't
that big. You know.
All right. Well,
let's say. A few thousand in each giant city. That's not that many.
It just seems like there would be as many. It's weird that there was a hepatitis B outbreak among gay men and not.
Well, there was in all of Africa too. Like Africa.
Well, okay, but forget it. Forget any of that. All right. I guess you guys answered my question. Like, let's move on because what I really want to know is what's the point? Like,
that's my question. Is that. Like, I see the mechanisms that you're pointing to, like, oh, it's suspicious that the same guy who discovered AIDS, they're giving hepatitis vaccines to the exact population that later.
But if there's more backstory you need to do, tell us. But
I mean, here's
what's
the
end game?
This is why I'm saying, take away the CIA. Let's just pretend like this was an accident that happened, and it was from using the monkey blood to get the hepatitis B.
But that's the prevailing theory, is that this is an accident. Granted, it's a difference between an accident in a lab versus an accident where a monkey bit a dude in the bush in the 30s. Like,
but
there's an accident.
But okay, I'm saying forget everything and let's just go to Robert Gallo attaching HIV to AIDS, right? Okay. Because that's a separate thing amongst all these other things. Yes, maybe CIA. Yes, maybe monkey accident. Robert Gallo, like I said, he was working
monkey on... Monkey accident, good band name.
What was it?
Monkey accident. Oh.
he. So when he came out with the press conference and attach HIV to AIDS, that's a that has to be fucked up, because he didn't submit his results for peer review. And then within that same press conference, they're saying, hey, we are also controlling the blood tests, you know? So they set up at this time, before they figured out where AIDS came from.
He's doing air quotes.
Everybody was protesting. The gay community was really upset because they were like, there's something killing us. You're not doing anything about it. There were protests all over, you know? So they come out and they have an answer. And they also are saying that we're also going to be in charge of the blood testing, you know? And that, and because his results are so shoddy, that's, to me, is the conspiracy that they created a system for themselves to make money. And then, because HIV does not cause AIDS, it's something else. So now here they're setting up this whole program that says HIV causes AIDS. Come get an HIV test. If you're HIV positive, that doesn't mean you have AIDS, but we'll give you AZT to make sure you don't ever get AIDS. If you look it up, AZT gives people AIDS. AZT can give you AIDS because they're treating it like a virus. They're treating it like, within all of this story, if HIV doesn't cause AIDS, nobody knows what does. This guy's just, his case is that it's impossible for HIV to cause AIDS. So they created this to create this way of making money, and no one, there'll never be a cure. They've had billions upon billions of dollars towards AIDS research. And all that research is going to find out how to stop HIV. HIV doesn't cause AIDS. So this is just a big money factory. Here are 10 scientific reasons why HIV does not cause AIDS.
From BuzzFeed.
God damn it, I was about to say.
HIV, like other viruses, is a harmless...
You won't believe number four. Sorry.
Which Twilight character is most like your AIDS symptoms?
And we'll watch people eat AIDS in a couple minutes. HIV, like other viruses, is harmless after antibody immunity. Basically saying, when your body creates the antibodies, the virus shouldn't work anymore. Right?
Okay.
When
I don't fully understand even number one. So,
but no, here's the thing. Like, when you get the measles, your body creates antibodies for the measles. And there are rare cases where people get them again. But for the most part, you'll never get measles for the rest of your life because your body, your blood now has the antibodies for measles.
Right. But the thing is that AIDS kills you before you get to heal and have those antibodies.
These are things that you've learned that aren't right.
Oh.
Well, let me just counter with this. When you have chicken pox, you get shingles later.
You do.
Yeah. If you didn't have chicken pox, you're not at a great risk for having shingles. So...
That has to do with the antibodies.
Answer me that.
I don't know.
You started strong and then you just kind of...
But what he's saying is like...
But shingles,
if you had an antibody... Yeah, but it could be the equivalent to... Do I need to do the SAT thing? Chicken pox is to...
No.
Chicken pox is to shingles as HIV is to AIDS.
Chicken pox... AIDS is... Chicken pox.
The wheels are turning.
Wheels
are turning.
Don't call him out. Don't do that.
No.
I'm saying your thing is not correct.
No, I'm sure it's not correct. Oh, of course, this isn't correct. But all I'm saying is, you know, I don't know any of this.
It's fun. It's funny.
We're talking about retroviruses that we had to look up the definition of
what a retrovirus is. Yeah.
And I think what people want to know, what people want to hear about is why would the CIA make AIDS?
Or why would anyone, would anyone want to inflict AIDS upon the world?
That is the argument, because your question is why. Okay, supposing that the CIA created AIDS, if you're asking why they created it, the only people targeted are gay men and African Americans.
Mm-hmm. Except for it crosses over.
It does, but still not at a.
And
not
why,
at
and
a,
why would it be African Americans? Like how did they pull that off?
The African hepatitis B vaccinations that we were giving them.
From in Africa, you mean?
Yeah. There were gay males in America.
But this is the 70s, though.
Males in America, and then we were sending hepatitis B vaccinations to Africa. Like, picture Red Cross there. Picture the Ebola.
Just for racism?
Yeah, so this all presupposes,
I don't have the answer,
the CIA... So the CIA are racist homophobes, correct, in this? Unless it's the money-making, or both. I mean, I'm not saying you can't have...
To me... Here's the thing.
Both.
There's this weird thing of, within a lot of conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. there is this idea of depopulation. That we are, whether you think it's because it's easier to control a smaller society, whether mm-hmm. you think it's because we're reaching the ends of our means of this planet and we need to depopulate, mm-hmm. within a lot of conspiracy theories, there's a depopulation aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're falling in line with that, you would assume that they would choose targets that they don't like.
Gotcha.
I don't know if I fall in line with that, but it matches up in a weird way.
Right. So, yeah. So, what you're saying is if the conspiracy theory is that the world is overpopulated and, you know, we need to depopulate it, you would... Which I believe you would obviously start with the people that you like the least.
I was making a drink during that, and I have a lot to say about it. One, this is a hat on a hat. Like you're referencing other conspiracy theories that aren't proven.
That's why I'm saying supposing.
Two, you're talking about depopulation, which you don't have any basis.
Go on.
Are you getting mad?
No. I'm saying go on, finish, and then I'll answer. I was stopping myself from interrupting you.
Oh, three. If the goal is to depopulate, why you know, gays and blacks? Like, logic stands that gays are not going to procreate, which is a good thing if you want to depopulate.
But in the 70s, who do you hate?
Communists.
I just think logic dictates that, like, keep the gays around because they're not going to have kids. We want the population to go down.
I got to disagree with you on that one. That's actually a pretty progressive attitude for, like, the 70s. Because if I'm going down the path and thinking, like,
Who progressive attitude on which side?
On the belief that you would... Back in, you know, 1970s,
if the goal is
CIA
to,
mastermind
if the goal
would
is
suddenly
to depopulate.
Go. Right. You wouldn't, but I don't buy that there would be some, you know,
I don't buy
CIA
that you would. I don't buy that you would just kill off gay people.
I think it's more likely that they would, that whoever the shady individuals in this scenario are would say would be, you know, the homophobic fuckers who would want to kill the
and drug users.
Gays and blacks and drug users because it fits into
but
that.
No, because drug users didn't come into play. They didn't know that drug users were going to start spreading it around because of needles.
I think it stands to reason that they would have. If you're willing to say that
you guys are giving them so much credit,
I agree. It is giving a lot of credit, but at least if you go down that path, you would go, yeah, that is pretty expertly. It does hit on all the socioeconomic groups.
You wouldn't get rid of the Catholics.
You know, white racist.
You wouldn't get rid of the Catholics.
They were all Catholic. Kennedy was already, JFK had already been elected.
You wouldn't get rid of the Mormons. You wouldn't get rid of the people who were like, let's have as many fucking kids as possible.
I think they started with whoever raised their dander the most, and that was probably.
Here's the thing. If you're really trying to.
I mean, that's true, but.
If you're really trying to depopulate and you are at a position, and I didn't even want to go down depopulation. This is why I seem annoyed, because I was like, I was just throwing that in there because I don't have an answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? I'm just trying to give a possible why.
But it's weird that there's no why to this.
Right. That's what I'm coming up short on. That, but I mean, that's why
CIA. And that's why I'm trying to drop the CIA out of this. A long time ago, I said, forget the CIA. We're just doing the fact that HIV doesn't create AIDS, doesn't cause AIDS. Because this guy, listen, the topic of the show is the CIA created AIDS, because that's what you think of when you hear the AIDS conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to drop all of that and say, forget any of that. The only thing that matters is the treatment that they're
pushing,
that they're getting research money for, that people are paying for, that isn't, they'll never find the cure for AIDS, because HIV doesn't cause AIDS. So that's where I'm going into, where the conspiracy to me, I'm sorry, I'm not very clear about that, but the conspiracy has morphed into,
so
HIV doesn't create AIDS. So they've created a way to constantly get money forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll never find a cure. You'll always pay for it. Yes, yes, there are women. Basically, women account for, in the United States, 1 in 5 new HIV diagnoses and deaths caused by AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
That's because men rule and women drool.
Ooh.
So forget all
we're
the
better
CIA.
Better women than everything. Ooh. Times 5.
Oh,
so even if these don't make sense to you, I'm still going to go through these 10 reasons why AIDS doesn't,
right.
Why HIV doesn't cause AIDS.
Hit us.
I think
the reason that we all got into it just then was because I think the depopulation motivation, if you will, if that's the word, that holds more.
You don't
weight.
Think motivation is a word? I'm sorry, go on.
Term. I don't know what the hell to say. Have another vodka.
No, depopulation's weird because then it's like, well, who's in charge?
Well, that would make sense, though, that you'd unleash this like biblical plague that nobody can, you know, figure out a cure
for.
Can
I just say why we're latched onto the CIA thing is because it's more fun to talk about. Like, you can prove that HIV doesn't cause AIDS, but who gives a shit?
That is the, I mean,
no, who gives a shit, honestly? Like,
that
blows
my mind.
Well, probably somebody with AIDS.
HIV doesn't cause AIDS.
What's the conversation? You listing a bunch of shit?
If you get diagnosed with HIV tomorrow, you're gonna get injected with AIDS, and you're gonna get AIDS.
So this is a public service announcement?
This is the biggest. They're making so much money off of this. To me, this
is... Yeah, they're making money off fucking breast cancer, dude. Like, that doesn't mean we're going to stop having breast cancer.
But to me, this is the biggest fucking news I've
all right,
seen in a
your,
long time.
Do your list. So, I just don't know.
Well, I'm honest.
I don't know
I'm generally curious.
About.
So there. So if there isn't that link, you're saying that,
that
it's
was,
a money-making...
That it was created.
Uh-huh.
I keep saying drop the CIA, but I'm saying that if HIV doesn't create AIDS,
yes,
or cause AIDS or whatever, something else does, and everybody's ignored it because, like, this guy, when he came out and started fighting against him, they had over 600 people, six hundred other scientists, 180 of them had degrees in this shit, and everywhere they tried to say, hey, his findings are wrong, they denied their article, their statement. Uh-huh. It's like you don't do that. There's a conspiracy in here to deny this.
Let me just run through a little story. All right, it's a story about a guy named Dylan. He was born in 1984. All right, and his father died of AIDS. His father wasn't gay. It's not about that. Don't be homophobic toward Dylan. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a scientist. I'm going to get into an AIDS research lab, and I'm going to figure this shit out. I'm going to really study my whole life. I'm going to do this. And he did. He was very successful, and he went, he became a scientist. He started researching AIDS. Super smart guy. He got like, what's the max score on SAT?
1600?
He got like 1580. He was like super close. Super like, close. He didn't ace it.
So yeah, you didn't like
there
hit
was
him
the English was, like, portion bullshit. And all that shit.
Because whenever anybody says they got 1600, you think they're lying.
So he can't, this smart fucking guy who was born in 1984.
I feel so invested.
Who is now, I can't do the math.
An important scientist.
In his 30s.
Yeah.
He hasn't cracked this thing that conspiracy theory people online have said, like, HIV doesn't cause AIDS. He can't put that
together.
The reason
why he can't put it together is because the American Medical Association teaches their own doctors their own doctrine. Mm. And listen, you will never hear from a doctor, you will never hear this, just drink a lemon, just have a lemon because of the vitamin C. It's like, no, take this. Take this vitamin C pill. And there are...
Well, if you get scurvy.
Our fucking...
Oh, man, I don't know. This is turning into some, like, anti-vax type shit. Like,
but
if I'm a doctor and the American Medical Association is telling me one thing, like... I'm pretty anti-establishment.
A doctor would never listen to a conspiracy theorist over the school that taught him.
No, he would listen to his research. To do good. He would like he's listen to what good. He's doing.
But the research is focused in such a way that you can't look outside of it. Listen, I'm telling you, there are hundreds of scientists that disagree with this account that are in this field.
Well,
I think nobody's listening to them. There's your boy Dylan right there, and nobody's listening to
him. Yeah, you know what? You know what is the best part about Dylan? Is, oh, wait, no one's listening to him?
This guy?
Oh, so
this video was made in the 90s, and I've never heard this story before that HIV doesn't cause AIDS. And when I listen to him talk and I look at his facts, these facts that I'm trying to get through,
you blew me up, man. You blew me up.
Oh, yeah, what happens with Dylan?
Well, I guess Dylan is shouting it out onto YouTube and people aren't paying attention. Dylan solved it and because no one's listening.
The other side is Dylan. That hospital that's making money from AIDS research will never listen to the fact that HIV doesn't create AIDS because their whole research facility is based on HIV.
You know what?
Real quick. Like, there is not, it's not.
Don't start with another Dylan story.
Dylan started a company, right? This is a different
Dylan's
Dylan.
Real
this
name,
is
by the
Dylan
way.
From
Martin
Kansas.
Scrully or whatever.
This is that's Dylan from name. Kansas. He started a company, right? And it was I don't know, fucking
Blue Apron.
It was something that everyone needed. It was just one thing that everyone needed. Just the one thing. And he became a millionaire. And then someone else decided, we can do this in a different way, and it totally threatened his business, and it put him out of business. That's not what a hospital is. A hospital is always going to have money because people are always going to be sick, and Big Pharma is going to capitalize on every single disease that you have. There's no reason to propagate AIDS.
But they may not know that they're doing that. They've all agreed. Okay, it's like relativity.
So to take Willie's side for just a second, or at least just to fucking argue with you,
they
Wade.
They all believe they're right.
In the one version that he was pitching, they did it by accident. So it wasn't part of some 20-year plan like, we really got to create a new market for AIDS.
No,
let's
but what he
vaccine.
Is saying is that the research is being pushed down by the people who are making money on it. The real research, like my boy Dylan, who figured out that AIDS wasn't caused by HIV, they've been silencing him.
It's parallel to who killed the electric car. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That if there is proper research out there, they're either going to buy it off or they're not, or nobody's listening.
It just doesn't make sense to me that you would put that much effort into killing this thing, especially if you're subsidizing this research, AIDS research, like that's millions of dollars.
Billions.
Like billions of dollars. Are you really making more selling the drug than you are researching on how to kill the disease?
I think the answer is yes.
You think.
You know,
is.
Not to.
It, let's
if
say,
I
let's
may,
say,
if
let's
I may paraphrase had... Chris Rock here for a second, didn't he have that bit from like a few years ago where it's like, the money's not in the cure, it's in the treatment. So that would probably actually support Willie's argument where...
It would support
the Chris Rock argument.
It
where,
would support it if you weren't also spending billions of dollars to research how to kill it.
But I think all that money is just being appropriated in different ways that isn't actually being used on the research.
For us to jump on board with this, that means that AIDS researchers are in on the conspiracy and they're not actually.
Just not everyone has to be. Just the top.
Okay.
You know, listen.
I think why
did you agree with Agent Orange? Sure, you did. You were part of the. You were alive, and you supported your army, and
right.
Nobody knew about it.
Right. Well, not not the grunts spraying it and shit, but at the same time, you know, anybody I think with like a chemical degree who could get their hands on Agent Orange would be able to see like, oh, this shit causes cancer or something. Like, likewise.
But I'm just saying, most people are trying to do good. And I'm talking science community, friendship, whatever, fucking community. People are trying to do good. But they're taught in such a way that if they look outside of the box, all of a sudden you're holistic medicine asshole. All of a sudden you're a naturalist, or you know what I mean? Like if you look at doctors, they're trained to be doctors. They want to help you, but they treat symptoms, not cures. There's no cure for anything.
Well, I agree with for no. Wait, I agree with a large part of actually what Willie just said, and this is from the person who was just saying like, oh, I'm a cynic. I do think that what is viewed as, you know, crazy, or for lack of a better term, crazy, you know, today. You know, 5-10 years hence, you can then make the argument that, oh, it becomes mainstream. And yes, you know, if you're treating somebody for diabetes, but not treating them for, you know, morbid obesity, that doesn't, you know,
help. You're going to give somebody a treatment for diabetes and not tell them to stop their sugar intake before they get it.
Oh, come on. Show me a doctor who doesn't tell a motherfucker to stop eating sugar.
Yeah.
Of course they fucking do
that. No. But that's them saying, hey, cut down on the sugar. But if all they have to... Listen to this. Look at any breakfast cereal and how much sugar is in it. How is a doctor going to tell someone to lower their sugar intake when a fucking breakfast cereal...
How much breakfast cereal do you eat? Because I don't eat any of it.
I'm talking kids. I'm talking you...
Don't
sugar
give it to your kids,
is more
then.
Addicting than fucking nicotine.
Listen, that's not a point of contention. I will gladly concede on that point.
But I'm saying from a doctor's perspective, it's not a problem until it becomes a problem.
But you're
there's no preventative. You don't get
if you got a doctor in here sitting right here, you would not say that shit to him because he'd be like, "Fuck you, dude." I tell people that every fucking day.
I would
take care of yourself. And all
that. Every fucking day. He would be like, people are in my fucking office, and I say, stop eating that shit.
I'll ask him what the five food groups was.
Stop smoking. Stop smoking, Willie.
And he's going to tell me the dairy, the dairy food group.
Fuck you. You're projecting on all that shit.
This is what we were all taught. I'm not projecting. This is what I was taught. This is what everyone was taught.
Not what a doctor was taught to tell you when you came in, and you're like, I'm fat now.
Doctors believed in the five food groups till about 10 years ago.
Why is this your hill to die on?
No, let me just go through the 10 reasons why HIV does not
pick up
cause
on
AIDS.
Number 2 or 3. That's where you left
two.
Off.
HIV does not kill the T cells it infects.
Okay.
HIV researchers use T cells to grow the virus because T cells live compatibly with HIV. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of it, the whole reason. What AIDS is it kills the T cells. You go from like having 1 to 2,000 to 100 T cells. So if HIV killed your, the whole point of AIDS is, I mean, the whole story behind AIDS is that it kills all of your T cells. So that you can't fight disease.
AIDS, not HIV.
No. They're saying HIV. I'm saying when you look up AIDS, they say
AIDS kills T cells. HIV doesn't.
They say that HIV does.
No, who does?
That's the whole point of HIV.
No, it's not. AIDS. That's when you need to start worrying about your T cells is when you get AIDS, not when you have HIV.
Are you sure about it? I honestly don't. I think
No, they say
I'm almost 100% on that.
HIV is human immunodeficiency virus. So you're telling me that if you got HIV, you should not be concerned about your T cell count?
That's all they watch.
I'm saying once you get AIDS, that's when you need to start being worried about your T cells.
What I'm saying is they are saying.
No, you said fucking HIV, dude.
I know, but I said it with a questioning tone, meaning. God damn it. you're pretty long story short, you need T cells to live and fight off viruses. So you should be concerned about your T cells at all times.
But listen, the first fucking two things on this list were about HIV and T cells, and I was always under the understanding that AIDS was the thing that when you needed to start worrying about T cells. People live with HIV for years, and then when they get AIDS, that's when you need to start worrying about T cells.
Maybe
that's my understanding.
I was under the vague impression that like the reason you need to be concerned about your number when you have AIDS is because
AIDS. Yes.
Yes, is because it's been dropping throughout your term that you have HIV. You know, like HIV is like,
I don't know,
the beginning of the race.
I mean, we're both speculating. You have a different speculation than I do.
Maybe the reason why this is just such a perfect conspiracy is because everybody who's not a biologist doesn't know how it actually works. Grassy knoll, you understand how a bullet goes and zigs and zags.
I don't even think this is a conspiracy. I don't think this is a legitimate conspiracy.
Well, I don't see the end game. That's the problem for me to really address it as a conspiracy.
Gallo's AIDS hypothesis said that HIV kills T cells, and when the T cells are dead, the result is AIDS.
All right. Not to be confrontational, but he's the guy that you've been discrediting this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so who gives a shit about his hypotheses?
This is where AIDS research starts, is his findings that are correct.
And he's the guy you don't believe.
Yeah.
Don't you see?
I'm saying that he's wrong.
And so am I. But you're using him as a source to say that HIV is what kills T cells.
I'm using him as a source to say he's wrong.
But you just cited him saying HIV kills T cells.
That's what he says, and I think that he's wrong.
So do I. But then the two things on your list are about HIV and T cells.
Gallo is the guy who...
Read the first, the second two things on your list.
10 reasons why HIV does not cause AIDS. HIV does not kill the T cells it affects.
Oh, well then what are we fucking arguing about?
That's what I'm curious too.
Where did I just wander into? Are you guys both arguing that HIV doesn't cause AIDS now?
Let's just move on.
I got hung up because
you're mixing the two scientists together.
Jesus Christ. How am I supposed to keep it straight?
Gallo.
No, I'm not. I
discovered AIDS. The other guy is giving a list as to 10 reasons why HIV does not cause AIDS.
But then so then I don't agree with this other fucking list.
Number three.
I think we're on number four.
HIV does not infect enough T cells to cause AIDS. HIV only infects 1 out of 1,000 T cells.
Did I just make up this? What the fuck was I talking about?
I don't know.
You said something about HIV killing T cells.
That's what Gallo says.
No, he doesn't.
That's what
you know.
The guy who discovered AIDS. That was his claim. I know that things are changed now, but when he in 1981 he said that the guy who discovered it said that HIV kills T cells.
Well, I think we just like misspoke and argued the same point for like 5 minutes.
I know. I think so too. That's why I was like, I'll just keep saying it.
You'll edit that out. Just edit that out.
HIV has no AIDS-causing gene. No AIDS. All retroviruses have only 3 major genes.
Okay.
Whatever. I'll keep going. Basically, there are 50 to 100 different retroviruses in every healthy human body. So I think what this guy is saying is that they just picked one and called that.
Wait a sec. Could that be true? We have 50 to 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Because retroviruses?
Because of evolution, because of whatever, there are viruses that are in us.
How the fuck do we fight those off?
No. We don't have to because we were born with the antibody already because of evolution. They're just in us still.
Hmm.
This is a retrovirus scientist talking. And he says HIV behaves no differently than other retroviruses. if none of these other retroviruses cause diseases, why should HIV? Or if HIV causes AIDS, why don't all the rest cause something else? Here's number five. There is no such thing as a slow virus.
Until now.
HIV's magical abilities are that they, well, whatever, I want to get into that.
Like retarded?
There's this guy.
Think, like, how can there be no such thing? Like, you know, there's no such thing of a machine that can fly until there was.
This is the viruses.
Right. But evolution I will say this, that evolution, favors that which is most efficient. So evolutionarily speaking, a virus which takes its dear sweet ass time to kill its host would not be
herpes, for example.
Keep going with the list.
Let's get through this list.
Okay. But his example of that is the herpes viruses. They smolder and hide, then reinfect persons who are immune suppressed, right? The reason why it's different from HIV is if you have herpes and it's suppressed, there's still large amounts of active viruses that you can find inside of you for, you know, whatever. Okay, so I'll keep going with the list. HIV is said to cause 30 different diseases 10 years later. So I'll continue with the list. Number six, HIV is not a new virus, so how could it not cause a new epidemic?
It's probably more of a timing argument.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, like a new flu virus.
It's not a new epidemic, so how could it not cause a new virus?
It's like saying...
I didn't even want
to. It's like saying yellow is the new black. Well, it's like what happened to the old black.
Let's just keep going.
We have to wrap this show up.
Yeah, they didn't. They never tested how old the virus was because you could test how old the virus is.
You can.
According to Farr's law, William Farr, he's a British epidemiologist. All right. Number seven, HIV fails Koch's postulates, right? He's the father of bacteriology. The organism must be found in all cases of the disease. That's one. It's not found in all of them. It must be isolated from the host and grown in a pure culture.
This is like some really fucking boring
next
shit
level stuff.
I know, but it's all fucking.
But no one's retaining it. It doesn't mean anything. Is there anything in this list that means anything? Because if not, we should wrap this episode up.
I'm three away, so let me just finish. AIDS has remained in its original risk groups for over 12 years. If it doesn't.
Mean anything. That means nothing to anyone listening. What is a risk group?
Well,
homosexual male, AIDS in risk groups. Homosexual males, 62%.
That's
IV
not true.
Drug users,
32%. That's not true. AIDS is everywhere.
Well, it's not everywhere, but it is.
It's fucking everywhere.
But these percentages.
Do you have a lot of unprotected sex because you're not afraid of AIDS?
Sure. You know, I'm swinging dong
everywhere. These percentages
everywhere.
Are still closer to the original test percentages.
Wait, do you honestly believe right now that there's an equal chance to get AIDS, HIV, AIDS from being a heterosexual versus a homosexual or a needle user versus a non-needle user?
I know that it's enough of a chance that I'm not going to, like, have unprotected sex.
Right, but that's different
or
than saying... But that's different than
what
saying...
What the fuck? What is this now?
Well, wait.
What is this?
Let me
What's the argument here that I...
It's saying the risk pool that...
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with
really?
That.
Really?
Okay, the U.S. Army between...
This is what the episode should just be about, is you don't believe that...
I think if you believe that you can't get AIDS, then you're a fucking idiot.
I did not say that. I said the odds of you getting AIDS being a intravenous drug user versus being a
that's not what you said.
Male. Okay. What? Rewind the tape. You know what? Maybe I did.
First
say
of all, I don't want to fucking talk about this. I want to end the fucking episode. I want Willie to end his list.
Okay, let me.
No reason for us to be fucking arguing about this. I just think that like AIDS is everywhere, and maybe there's a higher percentage that gay
gays or drug users can get it, but I don't think that's a point of anything to do with this topic.
But here's the U.S. Army. Yeah. They did HIV tests in new recruits from 1985 to 1996. A million people were infected. 50% of them were female. 50% were male with HIV. Right? Of all the people infected, half were girls, half were guys.
Yeah.
But out of the 1 million affected, 90% of them that had AIDS were male.
This is a fucking can of worms list because now you're talking about like
I'm saying if this is a real virus caused by HIV and half of the women have, or, you know, 50% of them are women, 50% are male, the percentage that should have them should be way more than 90%
of males. You also just refuted that drug gives you AIDS.
AZT?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
AZT has been proven
to be talking AIDS. More about AZT because I don't know enough.
It hasn't because just said it. Fucking 50 females, 50 males.
This is the army test. They didn't give them all AZT.
They didn't give any of them AZT, and they still got AIDS.
90% of them were men.
Yeah, that's why AZT doesn't give you AIDS. They still got AIDS, right?
Without having had AZT.
I'm saying... No. I'm not saying AZT is the cause of AIDS, but AZT can give you AIDS.
So it's like getting a cold where you can get it from a lot of different...
God, I'm ways. Done. Dude, I'm done.
Listen, if you have HIV, that doesn't mean you have AIDS. But if you take AZT, you have a better chance of getting AIDS than not taking it.
I agree.
I just hope there's a lot of listeners getting sexual...
I just... After everything that I said, do you think this is all bullshit? You think it's all bullshit and that there's nothing to it?
I don't know, dude, because I honestly, if you really want me to be honest, you haven't given me a cohesive argument to believe anything because you've been talking about a bunch of shit that I don't understand and I can't follow your train of thought. I don't know where you're at. You do CIA and then you go, no, not CIA. And then you go, oh, it's because of fucking Joseph Mengele or whatever the fuck. I don't know where I'm at right now. So no, I'm sorry.
I gotta be honest. I am somewhere in the middle because I thought I think that there's some credence to the origin of it, and I think that the fact that, well, like when you showed the hepatitis stuff, that makes me want to research a little bit more into that. Like the fact that there were, you know, government sponsored inoculations at the same time. But where it doesn't line up for me is the, you know, the end game. You know, is it a money making scheme or is it, you know, covering up a horrible mistake or is it a depopulation kind of killing our enemies?
Like I just threw away the depopulation thing in there because most conspiracy theories involve some elite with a depopulation thing. I hate bringing that up because it negates all these other truths. Mm-hmm. To just throw that in there, whether you believe it or not.
Right. I'm just trying to give you the benefit of the doubt because if, you know, I believe that they're obviously, you know, in the history of mankind, you know, by necessity, there's been conspiracies. So I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that, okay, even if you haven't been clued into what the end goal is, you know, there needs to be something that, you know, has some credence to it, you know, but something
my defense is this. I will never know the end game of any conspiracy theory. I can speculate, but speculation is what makes them crazy.
Right, but hang on though. Like there are some that you do have a reason, like, oh, this is why they did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I even when I say those, even if it sounds like I believe it, I'm not sure if I do because
well,
I
no,
don't.
But that's not. I don't care about like what you believe. I'm just saying, like, as far as conspiracy theories go, like usually there is like an end game, and it's usually like for money or
because to me, this is money.
Control the population. You think it's for money?
Because
I just don't. I don't see the money aspect of it. I just think there's enough. There's enough ways to profit as a big pharma company that like you wouldn't have to like manufacture AIDS.
But if you let's say they made it on accident, though, mm-hmm. they still created a way to make money off of it. Let's say they introduced it to the population on accident.
So it's like a, if I may, Dow Chemical creating napalm by accident, and they're like, we could market this shit.
Because, like, to
me, I guess the thing is, if they created it on accident, and now they're making money on it, it's still there's still not a cure for it. And so I wouldn't consider it like a conspiracy. I would consider it an accident that they were like going like, well, fuck. We made that thing. Well, let's sell them some drugs.
Because here's the other side of it. If you're Dylan and your dad died of cancer, of AIDS.
AIDS.
When you start your studying, you're gonna go straight to HIV because HIV is what causes AIDS.
That's what
Dylan
did. And
you're gonna look at that virus,
yeah,
and you'll never find the answer.
No, Dylan did find it, and then he put it on YouTube, and then no one listened to him.
God bless you, Dylan.
Keep driving. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
It's been a bit. It's been a while.
I know.
I feel like I've learned so much about HIV, AIDS. Dylan,
I do not believe HIV causes AIDS, and I think that we're all fucked because of it. If you have HIV, do not take treatment for AIDS.
Real quick, just I don't want a huge argument out of this.
Yeah.
But just real quick, don't you think that if you have HIV, you could be more susceptible to getting AIDS?
Not at all.
Okay,
I do not believe that at all.
What do you think, Spencer?
I think that HIV causes AIDS, but what's changed for me over the course of this discussion is I am a little bit more skeptical about the timeline and the cause of the AIDS virus.
Okay, yeah, so that counts as a win for you, I think.
Wait, that's a win? I wasn't trying to, like...
Oh, it's not me versus him. I just mean like he convinced you a little bit. Before you walked in here,
I was definitely leaning more in the skeptic camp.
Willie swayed you.
I mean, slightly.
Bit.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
It's not a competition.
Well, you just said win, so
well,
that sounds
I'm sorry,
like...
I misspoke and said win. Jesus, don't get fucking
well.
Hung
to use
up
a tennis
it.
Analogy, you know, you want to be able to return the ball. Kind of a biff.
Make
that.
You mess up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man. Everybody needs to stop being so confrontational. And I'm sorry that I kind of laid into you a little bit. But I think maybe I'm just too drunk to grasp this because we're talking about fucking.
There's a lot of biomechanics. And shit going on here.
So let's wrap it up. What do you want to give out your Twitter or anything like that? Anything you want to do?
Oh, why you guys do plugs?
Of course we do fucking plugs.
Easy plugs. Somebody should be sponsored by a plug company like Philips or something. Edit that out. I don't want that. That's a stupid idea. Sure, if you want to follow me, go for it on Twitter. I'm Spencer Strauss. Spencer Intercourse Strauss.
Jesus,
Strauss.
Mumble it more.
Mumblecore, mumblecore.
Spencer Strauss? Know. Do you want to spell it or not?
Spencer
it's
underscore
like the
Strauss.
Jeans.
Figure it
Spencer
out. Figure
underscore
it out.
Strauss. <All right.
laughs> Thanks for listening, everybody. Willie, anything?
I'm sorry if I'm whatever. I don't need to apologize.
You seem like you got a little defensive tonight.
Well, my if anything, my defense came from fuck. I didn't like research enough. To
it's a very hard topic,
don't
though.
Don't ever.
Let me just. Can I say one last thing? Which
real
is that
quick,
this
quick.
Is a really tough. topic to, you know, wrap your head around, especially to a layperson. None of us have biology degrees or minors for that point.
And I think that cuts to the quick. Like, you know, don't feel bad about your research, man. Like, your research can
but
be...
But look this guy up. I want you to look, if you're interested in this, this guy's... I fucking just straight up believe him. He's a fucking, you know, he's a, well, you can look up Dr. Richard Stroman too, whatever. This guy is Dr. Peter Duesberg, PhD, retrobiologist, University of California, Berkeley, Duesberg.
Jeez.
I'll put the link if you're interested. I fucking love, I 100% believe him that HIV does not cause AIDS.
Wow. Okay.
No one is going to look that up because nobody that listens to us has AIDS. I guarantee you, nobody is like, if you have AIDS, you don't.
You're
you
not
don't
listening
give a shit
to
about
real
this.
Life sci-fi.
Get your fucking life together.
Feral Audio.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior. Happening discotheque. Remember when we call clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced Ve A Pay in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh, my God.